Much of today's episode was recorded live at the Improv Boston in Cambridge. Hey, we're back. This is Jonathan Katz, the guy who likes to say, "Hey, we're back." I don't get it either. I spend so much time on the phone holding for tech support, and sometimes they're actually able to help me. And then at the end of the conversation, they ask if I mind taking a short survey. The truth is, I really don't mind. I wonder how they feel about doing the same thing.
Yeah, sure. As long as it doesn't take more than like a couple minutes, yeah.
Okay,
that'd be great.
It should be really quick.
What about in terms of explaining the issue to you? Would you rate me as, also on a scale of 1 to 10, was I very articulate? Did I get right to the point? How would you rate me there?
Probably about 9 or 10. Yeah, definitely. So definitely think you got straight to the point and you were able to tell me exactly what happened. And we got to the issue and figured it out in just a couple minutes.
Would you describe me as a courteous customer? Was I polite? Did I treat you with respect?
So I'd give you 10 also on that.
And I guess this is the part that really threw me, because in his own way, he was saying I was possibly the best customer he's ever dealt with.
I really couldn't compare you to other customers.
Well, I hope I don't need to call back, but if I do, you'll be getting a call from a really good customer. Ken Reed, like most Americans, has a podcast. But unlike most Americans, he has a podcast with a great premise. He's the TV guidance counselor, and he will show up at your home with many issues of TV Guide, full of shows that you watched as a kid. The other night, I was lucky enough to catch him doing stand-up.
I'm very bad at jobs. I've been fired from many, many jobs. One job I was so bad at, they didn't just fire me, they actually eliminated the position. Like, they had a conversation with HR, and they were like, "We can fire Ken, and we can hire someone else." And like, "No, it's ruined! No one can do this job now. Not even just here, everywhere. It's almost impressive." I'm very bad at customer service. I used to work at a local network affiliate. And when I was in college, and the thing I did was I worked in what was called audience services. So what I would do is when someone was a shut-in or crazy and called a TV station to complain, because those are the people that do that, I would answer the phone. And my favorite call was this, and I sympathize with this girl because I'm not a sports fan. It's very difficult growing up in the Boston area not being a sports fan. You can imagine that there is a limit to the amount of times one can be called gay. Unlimited. Unlimited in volume and age, frequency. But there used to be this show on called Roswell. It was about teenage aliens or something. I went to my prom. So it was once preempted by a hockey tournament, and this girl was upset about it. So she called up, and this was the message I got in the morning. "Where's Roswell? Some people don't want to watch hockey." That is a pitch-perfect recreation of this message, because I listened to it 31 times. So many times I listened to that message. It's better than morning coffee. I forward the message to the sports director. It seemed appropriate. He caused this. This is who caused this. Forget about it. Go on with my day. Now, weirdly, as the day goes on, employees of the television station start quoting this message to me. Like, the news anchor would be like, "Hockey!" And I'm like, "I've heard that somewhere." And I don't know where. Get back to my office at the end of the day, and I have a message on my personal line. I listen to it. It's the original message from that morning that has gone through the entire company now, including the production department, who have added music, sound effects, and highlights from the previous evening's hockey game. And I tell you this cautionary tale to discourage you from ever calling a radio or TV station, even if you have a legitimate gripe, because just know that instead of addressing your issue, an entire workforce will spend a full business day and millions of dollars worth of production equipment to just make fun of you. Thank you very much for the rest of the show.
I'm not a natural comedian. Even on a good night, people would come up to me after the show and say, "Geez, you make it look so hard." I met my wife on Christmas Day, 1979. She didn't know it was Christmas. I didn't know it was 1979. A few years ago, with the help of comedian Bill Broaddus, I wrote a book called The To-Do Lists of the Dead. Right now, the audience is looking at the table of contents from that book. That's the table of contents, and I would like to invite any five people to come up here and pick somebody on that list, and I will tell you what their list consists of. Okay, if you can mention your name and then the person on the list whose list you would like to hear.
Hi, my name is Rachel, and I'm interested in Hitler.
Oh, love him. On his to-do list, it says, "Don't give up on painting. It's the only thing that keeps me sane." "Do something with my hair." "Get something nice for Eva, maybe a fragrance or a big Slavic country." Anyone else?
My name is Lou Wilson. What about Andrew Borden?
Andrew Borden. Now, everyone know who that is? Because he is the father of Lizzie Borden, if that helps. And his to-do list says, "Rethink curfew for Lizzie." "Find my axe." Keep in mind, she's 32 years old now, so really rethink the curfew. But for now, find the axe. Anyone else? I think we have time for one more.
Ryan Kiesling. I'd like to know about Ben Franklin.
He said don't pose for anything less than a $5 bill. Invent a place from which you can borrow books and call it the place from which you can borrow books. And, you know, even more fun for me is, and I didn't have a chance to put him in this book, is Ben Franklin's son, because his to-do list said, invent a father who gives a shit about his son. I know, life is cruel. Or maybe we can do one more. Anybody have one more?
Yeah. Ooh, sorry. My name is Matt, and I'm really curious about Patrick Henry.
And Matt, do you remember what he was famous as saying?
Yes, give me liberty or give me death.
Yeah, his to-do list says, try not to just blurt things out. If you're pursuing a career in stand-up comedy, you probably will be drawn to Los Angeles or to New York City at some point. BJ Novak is a comedian who decided to move from Boston to Los Angeles, and I asked him why the other day.
There's a restaurant that meant a lot to me on a visit I took to LA when I was a teenager, called Denny's. And I felt that when I was eating at Denny's, I could do anything. It was this drink they had there. It was black and filled with energy. And I thought I'd need to live close to that restaurant, to that place, Denny's. And I moved here and everything has gone well. Now, of course, the punchline is, turns out Denny's is everywhere and I didn't have to leave Boston. And so is that drink, coffee.
And I posed the same question to Todd Barry, who lives in New York City and makes his living there.
Well, that's actually a misconception about me, is that I'm an exclusively East Coast person, resident. I do have a place here in New York. That's where I am right now. But I have a place in Los Angeles and San Francisco. I have an apartment. San Jose, I have a place. Santa Barbara, I have a little home. Where else? Santa Clara. I don't know if I mentioned that. Have a home there as well. And San Diego. And Seattle as well. Yeah, I spend most of my time in New York, about 11 months out of the year, but I divide my time with those other residences. And I hope that answered your question. Thanks for asking it.
Yeah.
Hey, how about a big hand for B.J. Novak and Todd Berry? Hey, I'd like to introduce you to a new band called Parks. New to me. They're Boston-based and they're wonderful.
Can't wait any longer. I've taken you as far as you go.
Thank you so much. We're Parks, and we're from here.
What I need now is two people to come up to either microphone, or to both microphones. Can we get two volunteers, any two people in the audience? Perfect. And one other person? And the mics are in front of the stage. I'm sorry, not on the stage, sir.
Oh.
I think you got a little carried away there. What's your name?
I'm Nate.
Nate, and we need one other person on this side. Can we get one other volunteer? Thank you so much. You're a good sport. Now, and your name... Oh, you know, what is your name?
My name's Sarah.
Sarah, okay, so I'm going to ask Nate first. to, while you're holding your own tongue, to tell me about your childhood ambition, your earliest childhood ambition when you were a little kid.
Well, the first thing I remember is, you know, watching TV and watching movies and knowing that I wanted to, you know, perform on TV or in the movies.
And how's that working out?
You know, I just graduated college and...
Oh, so I shouldn't push it. Yeah. And I'm going to pose the same question to you, Sarah. What was your first ambition as a kid?
Holding my tongue?
Please.
Ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to be the first woman president.
That's such a great ambition. And how have you made any headway in that direction?
I work at a dog kennel.
Well, how about a big hand for Sarah and Nate? I have a theory about all comedians that you can take any comedian from Jack Benny to Jerry Seinfeld and you put a burlap bag on their head, you whack them with a lead pipe, you throw them in the basement. 15 minutes later, you take off the bag. If there's anyone there, they'll say, "It's great to be here tonight." I have a gift, and I'm not sure when I discovered it, but I could take any song written by the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, or the Eagles, and I can klezmerize it. I can turn it into a klezmer song. And I had a chance to demonstrate this at the Improv in Boston with the help of Tom Snyder.
So if anybody could just yell out a rock song from that...
Wild Horses.
The Beatles?
Hotel
California.
Yeah.
Give me Shelter. Let it be. Okay, I'm going to try Hey Jude. Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better.
Hey!
Why don't we try one by the Eagles? Any song by the Eagles, just yell it out.
Hotel California.
Okay, take it easy. Walking down the road, trying to loosen my load. I've got seven women on my mind. One who wants to know me, six who want to know. One said she's a friend of mine. Hey! And I think we have time for the Rolling Stones. Just any song by the Rolling Stones.
I can't get no satisfaction.
Perfect. Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no gut reaction. But I try and I try, I try and I try. Hey! You gotta try, right? Thank you so much, everybody. It's been wonderful.
On today's episode, we heard comedian Ken Reed. We heard Tom Snyder on piano. We heard the voices of BJ Novak and Todd Barry. We heard a guy from tech support. And we heard two people in the audience holding their tongues. Music by Mike Shapiro, Billy Novak, and Guy Van Duzer. We heard a wonderful new band called Parks. I'm Jonathan Katz. You've been listening to Hey, We're Back on WKATZ. Today's episode was produced by Jeff Parsons. Thank you so much for listening.